Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Karen, good morning. Let's talk first about all of President Trump's executive orders. What's the legality of these orders? They're not exactly like the laws passed by Congress, are they?
No, they are. The president can't create laws, but he can direct how the federal agencies enforce the law. And executive orders, sometimes they're referred to as executive actions, are official documents. They're in writing. They're issued unilaterally by the president, and they're filed with the government, and they can shape policy and manage how the government operates. But they have to be within the parameters of the law because, again, the president cannot pass or violate the laws that have already been passed.
Can they be overturned?
They can be overturned in several ways. One, if a new president comes in, like Donald Trump basically got rid of all of the executive orders that Joe Biden had issued, it can be done that way. Secondly, the Congress can actually pass the law that would override the executive order, or the court can strike it down if it's not within the parameters of what the president can do or if it's unconstitutional.
What if President Trump's executive orders attempts to end birthright citizenship in the United States, and a civil liberties group just filed a lawsuit to halt this order taking effect? What do you think is going to happen with that?
Well, it's really in violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, and it's been in effect for, 156 years. It's actually been codified by Congress, which, in the 1950s passed a law that basically said, if you don't believe the 14th Amendment says this, then we're going to say it. And the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that people who are born in this country, regardless of the status of their parents, are citizens. And there's a couple whistles and bells, but that's the essence of it. I mean, even Marco Rubio, who was just sworn in as Secretary of State, would have an issue with birthright citizenship. And if you made everybody in this country basically prove that both of their parents were citizens, that would be very problematic. It would affect millions of people. So my guess is these 22 lawsuits that were filed, including Illinois, it's going to go very quickly through the court system. And I really believe that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to strike this down.
There's going to be a lot of attention directed at Pam Bondi, Florida's former attorney general, Donald Trump's pick for a United States attorney general. Historically, how loyal are attorneys general to the president, Karen?
Well, they are obviously chosen by the president, so there is some loyalty, of course. But it's very interesting. There are no real laws that dictate the dividing line between the president and the attorney general. Because the attorney general deals with the Department of Justice, deals with federal prosecutions, and all the attorneys, the prosecutors in all the different jurisdictions. And, during Watergate, there was a real problem because President Nixon was telling his attorney general what to do, and the attorney general refused to do it. So there are these internal rules that govern how the DOJ works independently from the president, but there's no real law that says the president can't try to dictate what the attorney general does. So I have a feeling that there's going to be some tension here because it seems to me that President Trump wants to dictate, at least to some extent, who gets prosecuted and who the DOJ is going to go after. And Bondi's no fool. I mean, she was, she's a good lawyer, and she's got ethical obligations that she has to follow. Otherwise, she could be disbarred or sanctioned by the court. So there's going to be a tug of war, is my prediction.
And looking ahead, there's going to be a lot of attention focused on the court system, isn't there?
There is. I mean, I think that Donald Trump is going to push the envelope on a lot of different issues, and I think we're going to see the court have to intervene in a lot of different things if it rubs up against the U.S. Constitution. I think we're going to have 4 years of lots of litigation and lots of legal commentary, so I don't think I'm losing my job anytime soon.
No, people like you are going to be in demand on television and radio. And finally, we've been talking a lot about TikTok, and now it appears as though TikTok is kind of in a limbo. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, the law was passed really with broad support in April. Basically, on both sides of the aisle, wanted TikTok to be divested. And if it wasn't going to be divested from the Chinese, then it's going to go dark. Well, Donald Trump said, you know, no, I'm not going to enforce it. But the problem is he really can't do that because the law is the law. So I think we're going to see some litigation on this. He says he wants to work out a solution where there is a divestiture, but China would have to want to do it. And they seem like they haven't really made any inroads in trying to divest themselves. So I think we're going to have court action on this. And I think that, you know, when the conflict comes between the executive orders and the law is probably going to win out.
What are the chances that a United States company buys TikTok, and then does that solve all the problems?
That would solve all the problems. But again, from what I have read, I don't see that China is really putting it on the market. I mean, Donald Trump even talked about having the United States government buy it, which is it doesn't make any sense because that would be a huge First Amendment issue. But, you know, China just doesn't seem like it was willing to do that. Again, if some company does, then TikTok would be back and the law would be, followed in that regard.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Thank you, Karen. You have a nice day.
You too, Bob.